Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, and we'll start reading at verse 28. Luke 19, verse 28. And we'll read down through to verse 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. It reminds us of when you came to Jerusalem and Jerusalem did not recognize you as the Messiah. We just pray, Father, that you would help us to have eyes that would be opened to see and understand your word, that we would hear the message that you are trying to speak to us, and that we would understand it as coming from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Palm Sunday? That is a question. Many people will ask Palm Sunday. What is Palm Sunday? Different names have been given in different languages. In Armenian, for example, it says Dalgazart, which means flowers, decorated with flowers. In Greek is Vaion, Kyriakiton Vaion, and in different languages there are different names. Palm Sunday. Well, I believe a better name given to this particular day in human history is the triumphal entry. Nevertheless, people and religion in general call it Palm Sunday because palm branches were used. And that, while I was writing that, I remembered what happened. I remember in the past and remembered lately when a politician comes into a city and all his followers and all those who support him come with placards and shouting the name and everything that is used. Many things are used to glorify his name or uplift his name or elevate his name above all other names that are running in politics. And then when a few days later that politician loses and someone else is elected, they forget all about him. Those placards have been discarded. Those praises have been forgotten. and life goes on. So I thought of Jesus entering in that city of Jerusalem, and I thought of that being the journey to the cross. I thought of the entrance to Jerusalem was the entrance of that Holy Week, when Jesus, where Jesus would be crucified, and I called it the journey to the cross. This event is recorded by all gospel writers. It was about 5 days before the Passover. Passover was the most important feast. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims would come to Jerusalem. The Passover was celebrated then, is being celebrated today by the Jewish people, even though the meaning may have changed a little bit for some. Others have respected the meaning of that celebration, and Passover has been one of the central themes of the Jewish nation. Now, and we read in Luke 19, verse 41, "Now as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" But why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? It is a question that many have tried to answer. Well, let's look at some of the reasons why our Lord wept. First reason, I believe, is that he saw what would happen to Jerusalem 40 years after his death. He actually saw. Of course, we know that God is all-knowing God. He could see what would happen 40 years later to Jerusalem, that nothing would remain. And that was one reason, I believe. Excuse me. The second reason, I believe, is that he saw. And he sees beyond the pleasantries and superficialities. God sees beyond the pleasantries and superficialities. He saw the city, verse 4 it says. Actually, he saw the hearts of those in the city. He wasn't weep. He did not weep because of the temple was going to be destroyed. Yes, that was a sad thing to happen to the temple. And yet he wept because of the people and because he saw the heart of those in Jerusalem. So much in the world is superficial today. Beautiful Jerusalem, the breathtaking view, the pomp and ceremony of the occasion were really beautiful. And he could have sort of rejoiced, and yet he wept. But Jesus sees beyond this outward beauty. What he sees makes him weep, even today. He could have been angry and upset, and yet he shed tears of love and compassion. It is sad to see the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who created everything, and nothing was created without him, weep over a city and the condition of the people in that city. Is he grieved at what he sees in our lives, in your life? And I thought about it quite a bit. I said, he saw their hearts. He sees our hearts. If Jesus were, if he was coming to our church this morning, would he rejoice because we have so many activities and we have the mission fields, supporting the mission fields and all that? Or he would be grieved when he would look into our hearts and see that there is some selfishness, there is some priorities that are wrong priorities in our life? That was the question I was thinking of. He sees beyond the outward in the church. As a matter of fact, Jesus sending a letter to one of the churches, he said, I know your works. That's found in Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. So that means Jesus knows everything. God knows every activity in the church. He knows every thought in our mind, in our hearts. And he knows. And because he knew what was going on in Jerusalem, he wept. He sees beyond the outward in our lives, the facade that hides inward sin. You have heard many examples of people who preach the gospel, who are priests in the church, who are elders, who are teachers, who put a beautiful face, and they preach and they teach, and yet inside their heart there's a lot of corruption, and even in their own private life there is a lot of corruption. So Jesus saw these things when he was entering Jerusalem. The facade that hides inward sin. The smile that hides inward tears. And very often I give the example of the clowns. People looking at the clowns, they think that, oh, he is a happy man. I wish I could be as happy as a clown. And yet we know that that happy face, that big smile, that big nose, or red nose, or whatever he has decorated face with, is hiding a lot of pain and a lot of loneliness and a lot of suffering. And so he pretends to be someone else, but Jesus sees the heart rather than the outward person. The cheerful greeting that hides pain. Have you ever been in a situation where you go somewhere and the person says, how are you? How are you doing? And you say, oh, I'm great, I'm fine. Now, Jacques, every time I see him, how are you, Jacques? He says, oh, I'm fine. And he smiles a big smile. And I say, oh, Jacques is very happy. And yet, I don't know. He says he has a beautiful wife. But then even that, I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. I always say good things about my wife, but only God knows my heart. We cannot hide from God. And so you had those people who are shouting, Hosanna, praise the Lord. By the way, my mother's name is Hosanna. And every time we celebrate this, if I was in Greece, and celebrating names, I would be celebrating my mother's name today. Hosanna. But every time we think of those praises, we must also remember the cross. Branches that were welcoming a king, a savior, the Messiah, were changed to a cross. He cares. First comment was about he cares, or he sees beyond the pleasantries and superficialities. The second reason I'm giving this morning to you is he cares about us and our future. That's why he wept. Jesus wept over it, over Jerusalem. That is, for the people who would reject the Savior and die in their sins. His primary concern was and is sin in the human heart. Sin brings pain and death, and God knows that. From the first sin in the Garden of Eden to this day, every act of sin and disobedience brings pain. All sin has negative consequences. Now you may ask this morning, the devil is putting a little thing. You may ask this morning, why are you talking about all this stuff when we are celebrating Palm Sunday? We should rejoice.
We should be praising, we should be glad, we should be partying. But look, let's not pretend to be ignorant. We know what Palm Sunday or triumphal entry means to every believer. It means that Jesus finally was about to accomplish his mission and was about to enter into a city where they would pick him up, harass him, abuse him, and finally have a kangaroo court and then put him on the cross and kill him and then make fun of him. Now you say, do you believe that? Absolutely. If Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins, if Jesus did not enter Jerusalem to die on the cross, you wouldn't be here, no one would be here this morning, and the world would be in a terrible place. Do you think we can get away with sin? My comment before this was, all sin has negative consequences. Do you think we can get away with sin? We cannot sin and win. We'll lose every time. We lose every time. Now, many have sinned in the past and thought they got away with it. And then finally, after 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, their sin finds them. And their sin is exposed and they are destroyed. Now you can imagine if this is happening in our world, how it's going to be before the judge of all judges, the King of Kings, the just and holy judge, God himself. We cannot sin and win. He saw that and wept over the thought, because he knew that all these people who are playing religion, who are playing politics, who are waiting for a Messiah to free them or liberate them from all this and give them a new life, were all going to die in their sins. Most of them, at least. Number three is, the Lord knows our full potential. First, he sees beyond the pleasantries and superficialities. Second, he cares about us and our future. Third, the Lord knows our full potential. If you had only known. Now, I don't know how many of you have said, if I only knew out by that. If I only knew how bad this is, or if I only knew the truth. Oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known what you might have become. You might have become the city of blessings instead you have become a city of war and grief. Until today, this city is a city of grief. Jerusalem, divided. All kinds of religions have part of. You have the Armenian Orthodox, you have the Greek Orthodox, you have the Jews, you have the Islam, you have Hare Krishnas, and you have all kinds of religions in Jerusalem, and they occupy parts of Jerusalem. And that's what it has become. A city of grief. Jesus knows our full potential, your full potential. The words you might have become or you might have been are very sad words. He knows what you can achieve. Do not underestimate God. You may say, I have tried to be better and reach my full potential, but I have failed. That's because you tried alone and gave up quickly. God can and will help you reach your full potential with his help. I don't believe any one of us can become very successful in anything unless God gives us life and God helps us. And God, now obviously there are those who are corrupt and crooked and prosper for a short while. And the question has been asked in the Bible, why is it that those who are ungodly, those who are corrupt, prosper and do well? And the answer is, wait, just for a short while. And then they will receive their blessings or their judgment.
As a matter of fact, let's look at what happened with the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man died in hell, he looked up and he saw Lazarus, the poor man. And he asked Abraham or God to send Lazarus back so he can minister to his people. And God said, you remember when you were on this earth, on that earth, or on earth? You enjoyed all these things, and he suffered. Now is your turn to suffer because you rejected God. Not because he was rich, but because he turned his back to God. And remember that a great future beats a great past every time. Your future can be greater than your past if you allow God to control it. If only Jerusalem had accepted the Messiah. If only Jerusalem really meant, if the people only meant what they said or what they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is our Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And if they only meant it, and if they only accepted his message, Jerusalem would have been the center of everything. Still, it's the center of everything today, only for the wrong reasons. Number four, he wishes to give us peace. If you had only known what would bring you peace, Jesus says, if you only known what would bring you peace. Peace, what a good word it is. Jerusalem means city of peace. War was waiting in the wings. Verses 43 and 44 say, this prophecy was fulfilled when the Romans took Jerusalem in 70 AD using an embankment to take the city as it was predicted by Jesus in verses 43 and 44 and repeated in Luke 21:20. Let's look at these verses. It says, Luke 19:43 says, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. This is happening today. Has happened. Luke 21:20 says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Why? Because they just did not get it. God was right there among them, but they could not see him. They rejected him and ignored his message. They just didn't get it. And I believe today people just don't get it. I don't believe that anyone understands how much God loves the human race, us. He created us. They know we say we understand his love, and yet we don't, because he came to this earth to die on the cross for our salvation. And the message he preached is a life-saving and life-giving message. And yet people don't get it. Don't get it that without God, without Jesus in their lives, they are doomed to eternal death and judgment. Don't get it. In John 1, verses 11 and 13, we read, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Verse 11 again. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive it. And verse 12, to me, is a very powerful verse. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I believe all he is asking from us, God is asking from us, is to receive his free gift. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. People are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then 3 days later or a few days later, they are saying, crucify him, kill him. Because why? They didn't get it. Jesus was coming into the city of peace, Jerusalem. And he was the only person that could have brought real peace in Jerusalem. He was the only one that could have given them real peace in their lives, in their families, in their nation, in the world. And they didn't get it. I hope and pray today and for the next week or so, while people are celebrating everywhere, many countries, the birth we celebrated. Now we're celebrating his triumphal entry, and then a week later or a few days later, his crucifixion and then his resurrection. I hope and pray that this time, some people will get it and understand that only God can bring this peace and joy and salvation. In conclusion, I would like to remind you that Jesus entered Jerusalem to bring peace and salvation to all those who would invite him in their lives and hearts. But the people did not want him. They had no room for him in their daily schedules. Jesus still brings peace and life to all those who welcome him into their hearts and lives. And you may say, or someone may say, well, okay, he's welcome. But that's not all he wants from us. All he wants from us is to really understand and get the message this time that without him, we all are lost. Jesus actually did not come, as I said many times before, Jesus did not come to judge people and send them to hell. Jesus came because people were judged, have been judged, and are destined to hell. And because God so loved us, the Bible says, he came, he gave his one and only Son for whosoever believes in him, whosoever invites him in his heart, in his home, in his family and church and nation to be saved. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your compassion and love. Thank you for enabling us to hear your message once again. Lord, if I have failed to, in any way, to present your gospel the way you wanted me, please change it in our hearts and erase any mistakes that we have made. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit may touch each one of us, may enable us to allow Jesus to come into our lives and to come into our homes and to come into our churches and country and bring peace, lasting peace. In your blessed name I pray, amen.